welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. This is our opposition preview for Liverpool v Aston Villa at the weekend. This is our newest concept, the opposition preview. And for me, when I thought about doing this concept, there was one fan channel that I wanted on this channel, and it is the Red Men TV. In my opinion, they are the goats of fan content creators, and I just love watching them. So I'm delighted to be joined by Steve from the Red Men TV. You okay, mate?
Hi, I'm great, mate. Although my camera looks blurry there. There's nothing clean enough. There we go. All good. I am very well, thank you. That was very kind of you. That was a very kind introduction as well. So, yeah, appreciate you.
Yeah, mate. Well, you know, I just watch loads of different content creators, and you guys just absolutely smash it. I mean, even if it's not your team, you know, you get so much out of watching different creators, learning about different sides, and that's what I love doing. So, first off then, I know it's been a bit of a mixed bag for you guys season-wise. Probably not where you want to be in the Premier League at all, really. But how's it been as a Liverpool fan then?
Yeah, like you say, it's weird, isn't it? Because, you know, there's 90-odd football fans of teams or the team who think, wow, I'd love to be Liverpool. But yet we're fifth in the Premier League and we're like, oh my God. It's been a poor one. The main thing, Luke, has been it's been so inconsistent. Now, it's been littered with good moments. So, you know, we beat Man United 7-0. We beat Manchester City. We've had good games, but we've also had absolute stinkers as well. You know, we got played off the park at Wolves. We got beat by Leeds. We got beat by Nottingham Forest. Brighton absolutely obliterated us at their place. So it's been very up and down. It's almost been, from day one, really, I think there was a few alarm bells rang. We drew a Fulham away and a few things, it just didn't look right. And then it's been very up and down since. Home form has been pretty good. Away form, for the most part, was dreadful. And then about, six, seven games ago, Jürgen tweaked the formation, moved a bit of things around. And then since then, we've won every game. So we've taken ourselves from, you know, we were having a similar season to what Chelsea had, Luke. And they've gone that way in the road and we've gone the other way. We've kind of turned it around where they've continued not to do so. So that's been encouraging because we're at the end of the season where games still, listen, it's an outside chance of top four, but it's at least that. Because we were thinking at one point, are we even going to qualify for the Conference League? Are we going to be in that? Or are we going to be nothing at all? So it's been a very strange one. And like I say, I'm aware that I sound like very spoiled. Our team are fifth in the Premier League. You know, it could be a lot worse, but I think this time last season we were in a title race right to the very end. We had a Champions League final. We'd won two trophies already, so it has been quite a downturn in form, really. But thankfully, I say during the last month or so, they have picked it up.
Yeah, we had a Spurs fan on last week, and we were saying that, you know, you've had a bad season, but you're still sixth. You know, you guys, you've had a bad season and you're still fifth. So, I mean, when we've had bad seasons, we've been like relegated. So, you know, that's stark contrast. But for me, looking at it as afar, when the whole media were going at Liverpool, saying, oh, it's meltdown, its season's terrible, I kind of was just a bit more like, because you've done so well, you know, and Klopp's just been amazing. You've won Premier Leagues, Champions League. This is just like, for me, like an evolution season maybe where it was always going to happen at some point and then next season you saw can go again and especially improving that midfield. So, you know, you touched on about the last seven games and one thing for me is that this new hybrid fullback in Trent going into central midfield, we've seen John Stones do it for Manchester City. We do it a little bit with Moreno going further forward and we sort of keep a right back a little bit lower. So how's that been? Because he looks like he's played there all his life.
Well, he has. He used to be a midfielder. We turned him into a right back and he was doing well for a while. Actually, your first point there actually goes on to the second point. So I think what happened was Liverpool tried to go again with the same midfield one more time. They saw all these guys get them to every, you know, they got to three cup finals. They won two of them. They were what, you know, as you guys know, but they are half an hour away from us winning the title that last game of the season as well for both of us. So I think Jürgen went, you know, we can do it again. And I think he quickly realised, got that wrong. And it kind of took a while for him to figure out what was going wrong with the season. He tried different players. He was moving things in and out. We played four forwards. Whatever was happening, it just wasn't quite working defensively, especially. And then I think I wonder if he saw, you know, you mentioned John Stones for City, Zinchenko or Arsenal. And he's, I wonder if he did just think, you know what, well, if they've got him, well, look who I've got. You know, I've got Trent Alexander-Arnold. He can do that and be, he's well better on the ball than either of those two. You know, he isn't as good a defender as John Stones, but he's 10 times on the football what he can do. So I think that happened. We actually did it against Arsenal. And it took us about 20 minutes to get our heads around it. We were 2-0 down very early. But then when Liverpool kind of worked it out, since then, really, Alexander-Arnold's been unbelievable. The assists are back. He's scoring goals. Like, he obviously scored a goal the other day. But it's made us better defensively. That's been the key. We were so easy to counter-attack. It was a joke. Teams were just running. You know, Fabinho looked like his legs had gone. The teams were just running through us. What it does now, actually, it's actually made us more defensively sound because we've got two centre-backs, Fabinho and Alexander-Arnold, all behind the ball, and usually Andy Robertson as well. Like, in the old formation, Trent was asked to go forward all the time. And if he got caught out up the pitch, Liverpool didn't have enough numbers back. Now, because he's deeper, he's always there. So if Liverpool lose the ball, which, you know, it often happens, they're not getting teams are just running straight at Fabinho. There's also Alexander-Arnold, Konate and Van Dijk are in slightly different positions, as is Andy Robertson. So it's actually made us better defensively. It's more stable for the most part, but also he's an absolute genius when the ball's at his feet. And he's going from having like 80 touches a game to having 150 touches a game. And the more often you can get that guy on the ball, you know, he's a little bit like what De Bruyne does for Manchester City, in that he can go wherever he wants and go and pick the ball up, and he can go and do whatever he fancies. And it's really, really basic as well. But when he's stuck at right back, the only thing he can do is hit it forwards or hit it left. Now in the middle of the pitch, he's got right. So he's finding Mo Salah time and time again with those balls. So it's made us better defensively. It's made us better offensively. I wish Jürgen could have stumbled up on this maybe a few months earlier and we might have been, you know, in the top four, but it is what it is. But since then, it's made Trent better. It's made Curtis Jones better. It's made Fabinho better. It's made Ibu Konate better. So a lot of players have begun to flourish with this change of system. But actually, he did just steal it off somebody else. It just so happened that he had the perfect man to do it.
Yeah, I mean, Curtis Jones against Leicester. First off, Pirlo at one point, banging them goals. He was brilliant. That's probably the best performance I've ever seen from him, really. So transfer-wise, then in the summer, it looks like Bellingham is going to Real Madrid. But have you got your eyes on Alexis McAllister? Who else are you sort of linked with? Is it midfield areas that you're really looking like you need to be strengthening on?
I think that's the reason why they kind of didn't go for Jude Bellingham, because I referenced it before. I think Jürgen thought he wasn't that far away with the team he had. And then if he had a budget of 150 million, he was going to spend it all this summer potentially on Jude Bellingham, and he was going to be that final piece. And then I think he soon realised, no, we're not as close as maybe we thought we were. You know, they haven't gave Oxlade-Chamberlain a new contract. They haven't given Naby Keita a new contract. James Milner's leaving. Roberto Firmino's changing. So it is very much a, you know, they're two of those in particular, in Firmino and Milner, have had huge roles. Chamberlain and Keita less so due to injury. But it is going to be turnover. So you're right. Midfield is going to be the key area. The general thoughts of the journalists and the people who kind of know this kind of stuff are Liverpool are in for at least two centre mids and potentially three. So it's Alexis McAllister and Mason Mount. They're the two. Ryan Gravenberch from Bayern Munich, he's the third, who they're really keen on. Brighton aren't desperate to sell Alexis McAllister. Chelsea want to keep Mason Mount. Bayern Munich want to keep Ryan Gravenberch. So these aren't like straightforward things, although, you know, it's been reported today that McAllister quite fancies the move. But we'll wait and see. But yeah, my gut feeling is Liverpool will sign three midfielders, and that might be it. There's talk of a centre-back as well. They might let Joel Matip leave and replace him with someone who's a bit more mobile, because, as you mentioned, this change of system doesn't really suit Joel Matip. He's done all right in it when he's played, but it suits Konate and Joe Gomez a little bit more in terms of more. They've got more pace and more ability to cover across, which you need to do. So there's talk that they might do that as well. But you're absolutely Alexis McAllister, it feels like, is like top of the list now. And I'd be delighted if you could sign him. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's class, World Cup winner. So, I mean, we've got one of them in goal. So I'll get your thoughts then on Aston Villa. But we have got to talk about your friend, your mate, Gerrard. We had Gerrard at the start of the season. So what have been your thoughts on how Gerrard was at Villa and Villa in general under Unai Emery?
Okay, let's do Gerrard first. And it felt... it felt like a good sign. When Aston Villa hired Steven Gerrard, I thought that was a good move. I thought it would work. You know, I thought that was a good step for Gerrard. I thought it was a good step for Villa. You know, a more young, progressive man. He's got such high standards. His standards are so high. Like, he doesn't compromise. Like, that's why he went to Rangers and he made them, like, he changed everything there. And he so I thought it would make sense to go to Aston Villa, you know, a team who just looked like they needed a bit, you know, reinvigorating. It just didn't work out, did it? And you guys will know the reasons of that more than me, whether it was tactical, whether it was transfers. There was a lot going on, obviously, as well. But it was a shame. Listen, ultimately, my idea was that Steven Gerrard would manage Liverpool one day, and he might still do that. But his reputation's taken a hit. That's you know, without question. You know, especially when you see a more experienced manager come in, like Unai Emery and Villa skyrocket up the table with a very similar. He signed one player, I think. I'm right in saying you know that one. Yeah, but he didn't sign too many. Yeah, he just signed. That's all he did. So it kind of goes to show, doesn't it? Maybe Steven's not quite there, and he's got more to go and do. So from our point of view, that might actually be a good thing that he goes. I would like him to be Liverpool manager if he's good enough. You know, he's an icon of the club. He is, if not the greatest player, certainly one of the top three. So it'd be nice for him to come here. But he has, you know, he's learned a lesson a bit about Premier League football, what happens, what it's like. So I know Villa fans don't like me saying that. You know, it happened on your watch rather than ours. But I'm from my point of view, I'm quite glad about that. And Unai Emery, I think, is amazing. We have a show called the Bias Football Podcast over on our subscription service. And there's almost a weekly segment now where Paul just got wax lyrical about Unai Emery. I think he's unbelievable. Like, I think he's brilliant. I always say there's very few managers who manage one of the big top six, for lack of a better phrase, and then leave and then come back and do it again. But I think Emery's of the quality could do that. Like, you know, if not for you guys, but down the line, if City ever need a new manager, or, you know, if Newcastle at one point, if you count them as that now, I don't know, although you don't, Man United, I could see him doing it. I think he's brilliant. I think he always has been a brilliant manager. He gets tarred with this, like, he's defensive minded kind of stuff, but I don't think he is. I think the Arsenal thing was a bit of a shambles. We can remember he got Arsenal to a European final. Like, Mikel Arteta then evolved the team, but he was lumbered with some of the issues that Mikel Arteta then was able to get rid of. But I think he's brilliant. I didn't think he'd have the impact he's had at Villa in terms of taking them from, you know, fighting relegation to on the verge of European football. I think that would be foolhardy to say I thought he was going to do that, but I thought he was a good manager. I always think he's a good manager, and he's getting more out of players than Gerrard got, and it's the same players, and that's probably maybe an indictment on Gerrard, but also a huge glowing reference for Emery. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, and this moves us on to our game then at Anfield, and honestly, it's a massive game for Villa, this is, because we can still get Europe. You guys are still going for Champions League. How are you feeling about Villa coming to Anfield then? How do you expect the game to go? Are you confident?
Yeah, I am confident, but I think it'll be a tough game. We play Aston Villa at home, and then we go to Southampton away. Obviously, they're now relegated the last game of the season. So we need Newcastle or Man United to drop points into either of those to drop points in two games. Now, obviously, at time of recording, Newcastle, Brighton hasn't happened yet, but that you know, Brighton do us a favour there. All of a sudden, we get to put a bit more pressure on them. So, yeah, to be honest with you, I think it'll be close, but I do fancy us at home. Our home form has been good, but it isn't the Aston Villa we played earlier in the season. You know, we played on Boxing Day, and I thought we were much better. I think actually, even the scoreline might have been tighter than it was tighter than maybe perhaps the gap was. But I think, I think it'll be a tough game. But we are in really good form. You know, I watched you guys in that Spurs game the other day as well, and played very well. But, you know, away from home, you lost to Wolves, then you lost that Villa, the draw with Brentford. So Aston Villa's away form is a bit patchy, whereas our home form is good. So that's what gives me a bit of confidence. It feels like you guys have got to where you've got to, really. A lot of it has been based on what you've done at Villa Park. And if it was the other way around, then we were going to Villa. We had this at the end of last season when I went, and that was a tough game as well. Like, that was always penciled as a tough one. It was one. I do fancy us at home, but I think if we win, and I think we will win, but it might be by a goal. I don't think it'll be, you know, we battered Leicester the other day, but we've had a couple of close 1-0s at Anfield recently. We Brentford 1-0, Fulham 1-0. And I wouldn't be shocked if it was something in a similar game, really.
Cool, mate. Thank you very much for coming on the channel. It's been great
Anytime.
chatting to you. And you guys, like I said earlier, you're just like legends. So thanks a lot, mate.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for having us anytime.